This sermon was preached by Pastor Naphtali Ogalo of Grace Baptist Church, Eldoret, Kenya, for the Lord's Day 25th July 2021 during the COVID-19 pandemic restrictions. And we welcome you to join with us for worship at Grace Baptist Church, Eldoret. We are located within West Indies Estate on Cargo Street behind Cogo Flats, Eldoret Town. I welcome you to hear God's word as I preach this morning. By way of introduction, in the United States and the United Kingdom, we are told, and it's, you know, in the media, we are told that about one in two marriages ends in divorce. Now, when we come closer home to Kenya, let me give you some few figures here, because this is relevant to what we want to hear from God's word. In Kenya, by 2017, the official divorce cases in the courts were 909. Those were the filed cases in the court regarding divorce. 909. And then the following year, 2018, the number rose to 1,009. In the year that followed, that is 2019, the number was 1,108. However, when we reached the year 2020, which was last year, and this year is unique, that particular year was unique, because the mandatory 3-year minimum of marriage before a divorce case can be allowed in the court of law, the number shot up to and beyond, actually, 1,400. So it's beyond that. I want it to be relative and to not exaggerate, but it is beyond 1,400 by last year. And of course, we are told that every month these cases go up in hundreds, cases on divorce. Now, why this morning talk or bring God's word, preach to you on the matter of divorce? You see, addressing the matter of divorce is critical for all of us, because even as I preach this sermon, there are many who are divorced. There are, of course, many who are in marriage, and that divorce is something that they need to be aware of. And of course, there are those intending to get married. And please, as I bring this, I am not bringing some national agenda. This is not national information just on divorce. No, I present to you God's voice on divorce. And I encourage you to turn with me now to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. Those who are listening to me for the first time, you may wonder, what? Why preach on divorce? It's not by design, and left to myself, I would not have chosen it. However, I have been preaching through the Gospel of Matthew, passage by passage, expositorily, and today then, we are in chapter 19. And I want to read the first 12 verses. However, we will only look at the first 6 verses. And so this is what we read in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19 from verse 1. Now, when Jesus had finished these sayings, he went away from Galilee and entered the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. And large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. And Pharisees came too up to him and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause?" He answered, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother, and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." They said to him, "Why then did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and to send her away?" He said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery." The disciples say to him, "If such is the case of a man with his wife, it is better not to marry." But he said to them, "Not everyone can receive this saying, but only those to whom it is given. For there are eunuchs who have been so from birth, and there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Let the one who is able to receive this receive it." Let us pray. O Lord, these are hard words. They are tough. They prick. They are heavy. They go deep into our consciences. They are your word. Lord, we pray now that your grace will be sufficient as I seek to explain and apply your word. May you help my hearers to pay close attention, to think through these things, and to seek your face. O Lord, bring blessings. Bring blessings from your word, even from a passage such as this. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I bring God's word. As I've said, left to myself, I would not have chosen to preach on divorce. I'm not targeting anyone, but I am seeking to be faithful to the scriptures, passage by passage. On the Lord Jesus Christ, actually by handling this, as we will see, this was not something that he said, "Now guys, I want to teach you today on divorce." No. This was a question put to him, and so he sought to get the record straight. And so, the question on divorce, we will look at part one, as it were, this time, And then, God willing, next Lord's Day, look at the second part. In other words, today we look at verses 1 to 6, and then the next Lord's Day, we will look at verses 7 to 12. And so as we think of the question of divorce, and in this particular passage, there are two issues that come up. The question that the Pharisees asked on divorce, and then the answer that the Lord Jesus provided on divorce. So the question, simply put, is, can one divorce at will? Can one divorce at will? You see, this question, we are told in verse 3, that it was not sincere. It was brought out from an ill motive. The Pharisees were testing him. You see, it was not their desire to be taught by Jesus, no, but to test him. Now, this is not the first time that this issue or this question of divorce comes. In fact, the Lord Jesus had earlier taught or answered, made a very strong statement on that. In Matthew chapter 5, we looked at it many months ago, but Matthew chapter 5, verses 31 and 32. On divorce, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ taught. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. Then verse 32, but I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife except on the ground of sexual immorality makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Jesus had declared his mind against what was so common in those days. But now, Jesus has moved away from the region of Galilee, and now he's in another region, the region of Judea, that's across the Jordan. Now, while he's here, the Pharisees are asking, will he still hold to the strong position he held earlier? Now, if he does, then these Pharisees, it looks like they will incite the people of Judea against him for trampling over their long-held common belief that you can divorce at will. But if he would say that divorces were not lawful and must remain unlawful, then they would consider him as one who is an enemy to the law of Moses. Because in Deuteronomy, chapter 29, verses 1 to 4, Moses, and again, hopefully we will get opportunity to make reference to that, but Moses, because of the weakness, because of the wickedness of the human heart, Moses allowed them to divorce and to give a certificate upon doing that. So, if Jesus said, yes, you can divorce at will. And of course, even the stricter Jews would accuse him of not spreading the stricter teaching of the Messiah. So, in all ways, these people felt that they were cornering Jesus. He would not get away with this question. You see, friends, the whole matter of divorce is surely a critical issue. It has been like that throughout the history and divorce, and the whole matter of divorce, they get intricate, they get perplexing, they become compounded. You see, it is not the law of God that has brought all this confusion and intricacy and perplexity of the whole issue. No, it's not the law of God. Actually, it is the lust and the sinfulness in the human heart. And by the way, often in these cases, people resolve and make decisions before they ask what they should do. People make conclusions and decide what they're going to do without asking, without seeking, definitely without seeking God's will. As we will see, that is wrong. That's a capital mistake. So, to our passage, their question is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? You see, for them, any cause would include if a wife burned the food. In other words, brought the food to the table, but it's smelling like it's burnt, it's not fresh. That is one of the causes. Like in our own day, we would be talking about if the wife in ironing husband's cloth, then some shirt gets burnt or the trouser gets burnt, then that is a cause. Or some wife may serve food to a different person, you know, a stranger, let's call it, but someone else, she may use the plate that the husband uses, but now she uses it to serve someone else with food, someone else's food, and then the husband sees it. That's a cause. And we can go on and on. So that this man then says, aha, I am seeing something indecent in my wife, offensive, something shameful, something which is not proper. And so now they come to Jesus. Jesus, is divorce allowed? Can I just chase my wife away because she's burnt my food? Or such examples that I have given. That is the question. Can one divorce at will? Well, the Lord Jesus gives a response to that. And simply, the Lord Jesus would be saying or says, God's not in marriage, tying a knot. God's knot is not easily untied. God's knot of marriage is not easily untied. And now, though this question was maliciously asked, remember, they were testing him. The question itself is heavy. The question itself is far-reaching into people's own consciences. And the answer that Jesus Christ gives, now, even though it is not direct, it is very effectual. He lays down before us here principles which prove that any casual reasons, you know, for divorce are not lawful. Not lawful at all. So basically, God says no. because of this reason. And I give you a statement, a quote, which really summarizes it, and then we are going to see 3 points to prove it. But this is the argument. I quote, "If husband and wife are by the will and appointment of God joined together in the strictest and closest union, then they are not to be lightly and upon every occasion separated. If the knot be sacred," that means be holy, "if the knot be holy," is God tied, "it cannot be easily untied." End of quote. So that is the answer that Jesus gives. And we see that proved in 3 points. Point number one is the creation of Adam. The creation of Adam. We will see in point number two, the basic or primary law of marriage. And then point number three will be the nature of the marriage contract. So point number one, the creation of Adam and Eve. Here, the Lord Jesus Christ appeals to the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures. Because in verse 4 he says, "Have you not," now that is Matthew 19 verse 4, "have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female?" And of course, the Lord Jesus is quoting Genesis chapter 1 verse 27. And the same truth is in Genesis chapter 5 verse 2. You see, Adam was purposely created first. Then Eve created female from Adam's rib. Why? For intimate and inseparable union, and not for putting away. You think about that. Christ takes his hearers back to the original record, where creation of mankind is set out in a unique way, in fact, different from the animal creation. Because with animal creation, it was said God created them male and female. God created them male and female. But not so the creation of Adam and Eve. Adam was created first. Then a wonderful process was followed where God puts Adam to sleep and removes one of the ribs. And then closes it again, the first operation. And then from the rib made the woman, Eve, and brought it to the man. Now that was unique. And so we see here that one female for one male. So that Adam could not divorce his wife and take another. No, there was no other. There were not two Adams, but one. There were not two Eves, but one. By the way, that is why this so-called same-sex marriage is an abomination and condemned by God. The way God created was he made them from the beginning male and female. So that's the first thing that we see, the creation of Adam and Eve. appeal is made to the scriptures. But then his second point of proof is the basic or the primary fundamental law of marriage. Because in verse 5, we read this, verse 5, the first part of verse 5. Therefore, Matthew 19:5. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife. You see, the relationship between husband and wife, honestly, from what we can see from what God is teaching here, this relationship between husband and wife is nearer than between parents and children. Now, let's reason together. If the parental relation may not easily be violated, that is the relationship between parents and children. It's not easy to violate that. How much less should the marriage union be broken? How much less? In other words, it should not be. It is not natural that a parent disowns his or her child. It's not natural. If it happens, then it is very unnatural. Oh, friends, it is much more unnatural that a husband should disown his wife. The relation between husband and wife, though not by nature, and follow that argument, though not by nature, yet by God's appointment, by God's involvement, the relation between husband and wife is nearer and stronger than between parents and children. Now, I know parents love their children, and that is right. We must love our children. But honestly, the love of children or the parents' love to their children should not be equal to or supersede the love between a husband and wife. And I know in many marriages, many families, that is being broken, where the parents have switched their love and have it on the children and not between themselves as a husband and wife. And that is wrong. So, you see, do you see the uniqueness of marriage here? That therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave or hold fast or cling or tie himself to his wife. Never let her go. The illustration that comes to mind is as people play rugby, there are moments, and I don't know the terms they use, but there are moments when a player clings on the ball and he falls onto the ground. And his opponents, not just one, many, his opponents would come and they would seek to entangle him and get the ball out of him, the rugby ball. And he clings to it, to death, as it were. Now that is but a faint illustration that a man leaves his father and his mother and holds fast his wife. Of course, this holding fast or cleaving to his wife has many aspects to it, many components. It goes in quite a number of ways, including the sexual relation in marriage, in that cleaving to his wife. So that is the basic primary law in marriage. A living and a clinging, or cleaving, or holding fast. And then in the third place, as we seek to prove that God's knot of marriage is not easily untied, in the third place, the nature of the marriage contract. The nature of the marriage contract. It is a union of persons. A union of persons. Verse 5, part B, and moving to verse 6, we read this. And the two shall become one flesh. And then in verse 6, so they are no longer two, but one. This is a union of persons, not of strange creatures, not a union of a man and a beast, a union of a man and a dog. A union. And we see such things in the social media. No, this is wrong. This is a union of persons where the man and the woman come together and the two become one flesh so that they are no longer two. You see, someone has said that a man's children are pieces of himself, but his wife is himself. Now think about that. And of course, also as we have often heard, and it's rightly so, that marriage equation is 1 + 1 = 1. And our children may find that very funny and against what they learn, but as they grow up, they're supposed to learn that in marriage, it is 1 + 1 = 1. They become one flesh. Now, the fact that the two shall become one flesh, and that we read also in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, indicates to us that marriage is a very exclusive and ideally indissoluble arrangement. It is so special. There's just no other way to think about it. It is indissoluble arrangement. Just by the fact that the two become one before God. In fact, yes, we are looking at the teaching of the Lord Jesus, but you know, and where the Lord Jesus takes us back to the book of Genesis and reference is made to Deuteronomy. But the same truth is taught by Paul. The Apostle Paul teaches in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. Ephesians 5, 28 and 29. In the same way, husbands should love their wives. How? As their own bodies. This is unique. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. So Paul brings in the same truth. So, what do we see, friends? The Lord Jesus makes this strong conclusion from which we draw also our application. His strong conclusion, verse 6b. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. Let not man put asunder. That's another version of it. And there are two things that I want us to see. One is that marriage is God's own business. Oh, friends, take that home. Think about that. Don't forget that. Marriage is God's own business. Now, what do I mean by that? Husband and wife are of God's joining together. God is the one who himself has set up the relation between husband and wife. And he did that before sin entered the world. The record of sin entering the world is in Genesis 3. But in Genesis 1, Genesis 2, God teaches us about marriage. And you know, it is marriage and the Sabbath that are the most ancient of God's ordinances. Those ones were set up before sin corrupted the world. And marriage is one of them. Therefore, friends, marriage, let's understand, marriage is not limited or restricted to the church circles. No. It is common around the world, even among those who don't know God, amongst those who have nothing to do with the church. However, since God's signature, since God's divine approval is on marriage, and since the Lord Jesus here approves and endorses it, marriage surely must be managed in a God-honoring way. By his word, the word of God guiding a couple as they marry and through their marriage, the word of God must not be let out or left behind. And prayer. So the word of God and prayer. How can a marriage survive if people pray not to God? I mean, that, I don't know how that can happen. No wonder there are loads of problems because God is not in the picture in people's marriages. And yet, marriage is his own making, is his own design. The Lord Jesus endorses it. Crucial that we get the mind of God in this matter. From his word and by prayer. And then, secondly, the first is that marriage is God's own business. God has a say in your marriage, in other words, or has the say. And then in the second place, since it is God who ordains husband and wife, then they should not be put asunder. It is God who ordains it. Husband and wife should not put themselves asunder. Should not separate themselves by any ordinance, by any group or any system. No, it should not be so. The husband should not do it. The wife herself should not do it. The magistrate should not do it. God never gave them that authority. Actually, God told the Israelites that he hates divorce. And that is Malachi chapter 2 verse 16. Malachi 2, 16. Let me ask you, do you need to seek God in genuine repentance now in this matter? Do you need to seek God? Are you guilty of divorce? Of your own marriage? Are you? Or have you influenced a divorce in someone's marriage? Have you? Then you need to plead with God in repentance. You need to plead with God. Because by God's own design, marriage should not end in divorce. And you know what? We, my friends, we, and particularly now, those who are married, we must pray and work at our marriages till by God's grace they work and not plan to jump out. That's a responsibility that's squarely on us. Something that God, way even before sin entered, God had put his signature on it, as it were. Must we take it lightly? Must we jump out when the going gets tough? No. That is the reason to seek the face of God with all sincerity. As it were, never giving God rest till he helps us to make our marriage work and not end in divorce. We cannot handle our marriages just by ourselves. We have enough sins within us as individuals. But now when we are married, two sinners coming together, of course, sparks will fly. But that does not equal divorce. Those sparks must send us very quickly and earnestly and persistently to God. But for the unmarried, because it's very easy to say, oh, today I win. There's nothing I've gotten from this sermon. It's all about the people who are married and can't keep their marriage. No, there is something here for you who are unmarried. And I want you to think twice and to seek God's will in this matter. And remember, someone has said, marriage is not for trial. Some people say, I'll get into it, I'll try, and if I fail or we fail, then we just part company. No. Marriage is not for trial. It is not a rehearsal. In that sense, it is final. So do not rush into marriage. Plead with God. Seek counsel. You need to be guided. So that you do not move ahead. They say love is blind. Well, if love is blind, then it's God's word that gives you eyesight through love. And God's word will guide you into what kind of a person you should love. And how you should love them. And when marriage comes in then divorce is not an option. Let me say this. I've only preached actually half this sermon, verses 1 to 6. I could not even say everything I would have loved to say in verses 1 to 6. And therefore there could well be, I know there are questions in many people's minds which this sermon has not answered. In one sense, you need to hang on in there and wait till next Lord's Day. Of course, you're also welcome to contact me and raise concerns, raise questions. I don't have all the answers. But what I've tried to do in this sermon is just to give you the teaching of God's word. And you know your own heart. And if these matters have pricked you to your conscience, you know what? It is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, the one who is teaching these truths. Therefore, look to Him. Look to Him for mercy. Look to Him for grace and to help you in your marriage matters. Let us pray. Oh God, bless your word. Bless your word. In one sense, it is hard. Matters about divorce. Who is an expert in this? No, not me. But your word is what we look to, what we seek to understand. Therefore, I pray that those who hear these words will take them seriously. We'll go back to the scriptures and we'll cry out to you through the Lord Jesus for grace and for mercy. You forgive sins. Even the most serious, wicked sin. Any sinner who comes to you, you will forgive. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.